I'm Alex.
And I'm Rob.
I'm from Novi Sad, Serbia.
And I'm from New York. Alex and I started dating after meeting on a German cruise ship where we were entertainers.
And now we are in a long-distance relationship.
Until we can be together again, we decided to start a podcast.
We may come from different backgrounds, but that's exactly what keeps the conversation going for hours.
We can't wait for you to listen to this episode.
So sit back and enjoy.
Because we have a lot to talk about. Well, thank you for joining us today. We're very excited. You can introduce yourself, let everyone know where you're from, what you do, and where you're coming from today.
Sounds good. All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Dasha Sovic. I come from many different places. I was originally born in Moscow, Russia. Then I lived in the States for about 8 years in San Francisco. And then I toured with Cirque du Soleil for a while, the US and Canada, so I lived in and out of suitcases for 4 years, yay. And then I moved to Barcelona, Spain, and that was about 9 years ago now. Yes, I am a circus contortionist. I have been training pretty much all my life. I started in rhythmic gymnastics and moved on to contortion when I was 12, and that's pretty much all I've ever done with my life.
So, for the beginning, so how did you start, like, into, like, doing gymnastics from young age?
Well, it was pretty random. When me and my mom moved to the States, I was 7 years old. And at the time that we arrived, it was summer. So, and she had to start her English school right away. So she didn't really know what the heck to do with me during that time while she was in school. So she stuck me in this Russian daycare that she found because I didn't speak a word of English yet. And as a Russian daycare would do, it took all of the girls that they had to rhythmic gymnastics with also another Russian coach twice a week as their like physical education program. So that's how I started, and I just really loved it right off the bat, even though I was ferociously naturally unflexible and completely untalented altogether.
Yeah, that's the funny story that I told Robin, that like you are not naturally flexible, which is kind of amazing that you still can do like things that you do. So,
was there like a really big Russian community where you were living in San Francisco?
Wherever you go, Russians have a way of finding each other. So, I mean, I guess San Francisco is kind of a melting pot. There is a lot of every type of people, lots of Chinese people, lots of Mexican people, everybody's there. Uh-huh. So yeah, and my mom to this day has not learned proper English because the Russian community is just that great.
That's good though, you know, that you don't necessarily need to learn the language of where you're living because your native language is so prevalent in that area. That's kind of a nice.
It is.
Yeah, but it's like it's more difficult to like to her than it was for you. Like you were just a kid. So I mean, I'm not like supporting idea of not like learning language, but just saying that it was like way easier for you. I can imagine.
Yeah, it was the first couple of months of summer. It was easier on me that I was able to be with kids that spoke my language, with sitters that spoke my language, with a coach that spoke my language. But in general, it took me about a year to learn English fluently at that age, and you know, easy peasy.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, if you were, you know, if you guys happened to drop yourselves in some place like Alabama, like, who knows if your mom would even have the same sort of resources that you would have in a city like San Francisco that's much more diverse than, I mean, I just named a whole state, not a city, but you know what I'm saying? Like, small town versus
something
a city.
Something tells me that there's less people in the state of Alabama than in the city of San Francisco, so yeah. I can't really blame you.
True. So what made you decide that you wanted to do Cirque professionally slash transition out of like just gymnastics into more of like a professional artistic career?
It's also a kind of a funny, ironic story. So because I was so naturally unflexible, rhythmic gymnastics was actually really hard for me. And I got through the first 6-7 levels okay, but once my coach passed me way before I was ready, in everybody's opinion, to level 8, I started falling behind because acrobatically I was doing okay and all of those other things, but the fact that I still didn't get to the level of flexibility where I needed to be was really royally screwing me in competitions and stuff. And one day I saw these really flexible, I mean, for even for rhythmic gymnastics standards, really flexible young ladies at the competition. And I was like, well, their coach must be doing something right. So I went to find their coach. And then when I found the coach, I realized it was the coach that taught at my center so many years ago. She taught the little kids, and then one day she just disappeared. So I asked her if I could join their club, so to speak, and she knew me from before, and she's like, yeah, of course, you can come and try out for 2 weeks, and then if you fit the part, you can train with us. And they were training at a circus gym. So they were kind of doing rhythmic gymnastics and contortion at the same time. So I came in, I was accepted, and then we started doing both at the same time. And very, very quickly, we came to the realization that to be good, truly good at one of these things, we have to quit the other. And all of us girls took the decision to continue with the contortion and the performing because we loved performing much more than we did the competition. So much more artistic freedom, so much more possibilities in general. So that's how we kind of got into the professional side of things.
Okay. So how old were you when you started with Cirque du Soleil? Was that your first job or?
It was my first job.
That's a nice first job.
It's not a bad first job. That's true. I was 15 and my partners were 14 and 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you were already, and that first job, was that a touring job?
Yeah, we did 6 months of creation. We were the originals on the show. So we did 6 months of creation and then like 3.5 years of touring.
Wow. So that 10-year-old really grew up.
It was really funny. Like, from the beginning of the contract, I was, like, probably more than a head taller than her. And then by the time we finished, she was the same size as me. Which is still not very big. Like, let's face it.
True.
So how many, which shows did you do with Cirque du Soleil?
Just the one that's called Cusa.
What was it like being so young and on tour with so many different artists, and what is something that has stuck with you that you're happy that you learned by being with such a diverse group? Big question.
Cool. Okay, I will start with, like, how was it like? Honestly, a little bit shitty to be so young, and no longer, they don't hire anybody under the age of 18 anymore. We were at a big disadvantage because we were young, and our idiot coach signed our contracts, more on her later. They kind of took advantage of us, kind of a lot took advantage of us pay-wise, so we weren't earning very much because we were kids. And we also had to do schooling on top of the 8 to 10 hour work days. So, and we had a little school trailer on site, so wherever the circus was parked, We had a school trailer and teachers that traveled with us. So that was kind of nice. They were like our teachers, our friends. The ambiance overall in the school was always fun. So we would have to show up 5 to 6 hours earlier than everybody else, do our schooling, and then do the two shows of the day, and then have to get sent home before the final bow of the show because for child labor laws and everything. And the child labor laws were always varying from state to state, from US to Canada, and we were constantly getting screwed royally by those. Child labor laws, people, if you're listening, you suck. You made it so much worse for us because in so many states or cities, we were not allowed to do the full amount of shows per week. So instead of us doing a number we were completely comfortable with and have been working on for like so many years, we had to switch to duos to give one girl one show off every week, and it was just awful. Duo is you lose one person and somehow it's 10 times harder. It's not proportionate at all. Horrible. Yeah, and Cirque was super overprotective of us. And I was coming from a place where I was always a very mellow child. I never gave anybody any problems. I was super antisocial, and my mom would kind of just let me do whatever I wanted, wherever I wanted, with whoever I wanted, because she knew that I'm basically a suitcase child. Wherever you leave me, that's where you'll find me. And all I want to do is be alone. And it was so stressful and so hard on my psyche to never be left alone. I mean, we had a guardian who took care of me and my other older partner, who was 14 when we started. And we were not allowed to be left alone for 5 minutes in the apartment. Like, she legally, but according to the rules, always had to be with us. And bless her heart, she tried as hard as she could to give us as much freedom as possible and not get fired. But it was tough. It was tough on everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then in that case, did you really even interact with other people that you worked
I mean,
with?
sure, while we were on site, like 8 hours a day, of course, with the rest of the artists, we hung out, talked, tried different stuff. You know, after 7 to 10 shows per week, you don't have much energy to train anything. But, you know, mellow things.
On a more positive note, what was the most interesting part of your life then? Like throughout the day, like.
Going home was definitely a highlight of the day. No, I mean, it was fun in general being on stage. I mean, we like it. There was a couple of highlight moments where, like, always the most exciting day is the day that something goes tragically wrong. And a couple of times it happened. My personal favorite was the moth infestation. One day we come to work and they announce that there are thousands upon thousands of moths in the big top and there's nothing that they can do about it. And the show must go on. And we're like, gross. So we had this about 3 meter wide in diameter table that was on our remote control, and it would be driven out into the center of the stage from this like kind of tower creation at the back. The curtain would open, and our driver hiding in the back would drive us out to the center of the stage and then drive us back at the end, and the table would spin. So there we are, waiting in our beginning pose for the curtain to open and for us to be driven out into the doom, into the moth doom. And the curtain opens, and it's so much worse than we could have ever imagined. I mean, it's like a swarm, a huge swarm. And the Big Top is huge. Like, it sat 2,500 people. And you look at the light, and you just see there's thousands of them. And as soon as the curtain opens and the table starts rolling out, they start to land on the table, and they're sitting there, and we're moving around, and we're rolling over them, and they're dying all over us. And we're, like, trying to smile, because our act is, like, super happy and joyous. We're, like, trying not to open our lips, so it's, like, a very closed-lipped, awkward smile,
oh my
with
God.
Like this disgust and fear in our eyes, and we're just like, and then we're doing this one trick that's like super static, and me and the little girl are on our chests with our legs in front of our heads, with our arms up, and our middle girl is climbing on top of our hands to do a handstand, and I'm laying there with my butt on my head, and then suddenly I notice this moth comes right in front of my face, and slowly, like it knows what it's doing, it's starting to crawl towards my face. And I'm there with a person on top of me trying to blow it out of the way, but I have like 10% of my lung capacity because I'm folded in half. So like, and the pose is starting to shake, and Julie up on top is like, Dasha, stop moving. I'm like, there's a moth in my face. Oh, it was so funny.
Oh my God.
Such a funny day.
Well, that's a memorable moment.
I always find, too, that, like, sometimes those are, like, it sounds, I think, to, like, the lay person who's not a performer, they're like, wow, that must be horrible. That must make you not ever want to perform. And yet I always find that it's the drama behind the drama department that makes it much more.
I mean, if everything goes right every time, then it's just boring, isn't it?
So, after having this experience with Cirque, what was the next part of your career? What was, like, your next step?
Wow.
And how come you decided that you wanted to keep going after this experience?
Well, the moth infestation came, it went, and it wasn't really that traumatizing. It was just very disgusting in the moment, and it never happened again. So, we were lucky.
I can't imagine it happening again.
That was also a funny day. It made it into our bloopers video. This, like, big, huge Mongolian teeterboard bass man. All of a sudden, he's, like, there standing on stage being tough. And then the bat comes at him, and he starts, like, waving at it and freaking out.
Oh my God.
Like a little girl. It was amazing.
God. That's great.
That's what I
want to
see.
So good. I'm so sad I don't have that footage anywhere. No, but after I was done 4 years at Cirque, I actually thought that I was done and I didn't want to do circus or anything contortion anymore, because Cirque, they overwork you and they drain you artistically, because by the time we were done, we did the same show over 1,300 times. Let's say that's less than inspiring to be creative.
Yes.
And they also don't really want you to put any new material in, because they're deathly afraid that you will screw up on stage. That's apparently the worst thing that could ever happen. A mistake.
Yeah, not the moth situation.
Not health crisis.
Yeah,
all that. Entering your eyeballs or nose while you're performing.
Oh no.
So what was the next job after Cirque then?
Well, after Cirque I moved to Barcelona to study interior design, And I've just been kind of working random events ever since then. Nothing super specific or long term because I'm still traumatized of taking such long contracts after Circ. Anything longer than 6 months, I'm like, nah.
Yeah, so this you decided to move to Barcelona. How did that happen?
Well, first of all, from being not a naturally flexible contortionist, working that many shows per week, I had so many little injuries everywhere, and I thought that my body was kind of, like done. Done. I was 19 at the time, and I was like, maybe it's screwed up forever. So, I really like to draw. That was something that I've always done since I was a child as well. So I'm like, I'm gonna try and make a go of this. And I'm like, well, obviously art's just, art is never gonna pay, ha.
Haha.
To try to find how to apply it. And I'm like, ah, maybe interior design, that would be fun. So I looked up some schools, and I knew I didn't want to live in the States. No offense, the States.
Some people agree with you, and some of those people are in this on this call right now.
I mean, I have plenty of American friends who moved here that agree with me, and they're like, nah. So I found a school in Barcelona that does interior design, and we used to go to vacation in Spain when I was little all the time, and I remember that I really loved it, the language, the ambiance, the people, and I'm like, ah, there we go. So I kind of made a very quick decision, mailed the school, went once to just check it out, and then moved. And the interior design ended up being a mistake, but the city is lovely. I stayed. As soon as the second year started and they plopped us in front of the computer and didn't let us touch paper anymore, and I am the biggest technology grandma the world has ever seen, and I hate it, and it hates me back. It totally hates me back. And I just didn't understand why I had to spend 13 to 20 hours making something on the computer that I can draw by hand in 3 or 4. I never understood. Plus, the school was kind of like super modernistic and stuck up, and that's not my style. So they kind of failed me out of many project classes just because they didn't like my style. Which is very theatrical. Hello, circus person over here.
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
gonna have colors and lights and pretty things and themes.
Also, Barcelona is like very artistic city anyway, so like for you to stay there, it's like it's kind of for you because a lot of like people who were into circus who are doing like contracts were artists. So yeah, kind of worked out anyway.
I mean, I love it here. I have my place here. I have a cat now. I'm settled in.
So, what do you do now? I mean, or before pandemic.
At this very moment, not a whole lot other than train. I have renamed myself Carpenter Bob, and I got an electric saw, and I am now building shit out of trash. And yeah, but just like training, learning new skills, did a photo shoot yesterday, just making the most out of this time to create new things, basically. Hoping that sometime soon I'll get a job because, okay, I have savings, but
I wanted to ask, you also learned pole dancing, right? But that was in Barcelona, if
That
I'm
was in
correct.
Barcelona. I always forget about that. While I was in design school, just to have a little income on the side, I was teaching stretching classes at home in my living room. And one time, a woman came who owned a pole dance school, like 2 minutes away from me, apparently. And she invited me to come try some classes because she's like, with your prior training, you'd probably be really good. So I came to try a class and I instantly loved it. So then I started doing that as well. And again, like, I don't know if to say I have my own bowl or used to have my own bowl since it's stuck on board. And I might never get it back
Yes.
if they sell the ship for parts next week.
That's what we were just talking about this earlier today because Alex was mentioning that when you guys were talking yesterday before in preparation for this interview, very formal, you were mentioning that you had left your poll on Aida Vida, which was rumored. I thought it was Aida Vida that was rumored to be being sold, but let's fingers crossed.
Well, I mean,
You can pick it up in
I
time.
would have heard something by now because I'm like keeping tabs on it, and so is my current boyfriend who was Envo on that ship, environmental officer. We're trying to keep tabs on it. I keep hoping that it'll make its way back to Europe, but no such luck yet. Because it was supposed to, and I was supposed to pick it up much closer to where I live, and that never happened. Poor pole baby!
That's true, but that pole already like see like half of the world anyways, so maybe eventually you kind of get it in some crazy
Well, just like as long as the ship stays belonging to Aida, I have hope that I will see my pole baby again. But if they sell it off, I am sure they're not going to be like, wait, let me mail you your stuff. They're going to be like, haha, we don't care. Quite honestly, I don't even know who I would try to write to. I don't know anybody on board anymore.
So Dasha and me, we did a contract together. That's how I know her. So what's your like take on like working on a cruise ship compared to like Cirque, let's say?
Well, let me just tell you that there's probably a number has not been invented yet as to how many times better it is. First of all, it's much less work, surprisingly more pay, like what I get paid on Aida, which is a relatively low salary on Aida compared to other cruise lines for a circus artist. It's still more what I was earning per month after taxes at Cirque. And it's not even one fifth of the amount of work. So it's much nicer on your body. It's a much calmer ambiance. And you actually get to see the places that you go to because you're not stuck in a tent all day, every day, with one day off in which you're too tired to do anything.
So, yeah, I guess that's like makes sense.
Probably not for everybody being on a ship the whole time, but I mean,
That's
I'm
true.
kind of the person where I lay my head is home, so. Don't care. I also don't have to pack and unpack every couple of months. That's very important. I hate
True.
packing. Packing sucks.
Me too. Which I honestly we chose the wrong careers. Because I feel like to make any money, you have to just constantly be moving around. It's so unfair.
Maybe she doesn't like the packing, but she knows how to pack.
Oh, I can pack a horse in a suitcase, guys.
That's true. I took some advices from her like to how to pack things. That's why I'm like, yeah, she doesn't like it. I remember when when we were disembarking, she was like walking in like she just took like I don't know like sweatpants or something, and the whole day she was like, I already packed, I don't have anything. And like 2 days you will see her in the same clothes. I don't care, I'm going, like, what the hell.
Well, in general, yeah. I like to strut around in my hobo best, and at least once every contract the theater department will get a note, and I know that it's my fault, like, hey guys, maybe don't walk around looking disgusting in the passenger areas. I'm like, that was 99.9% me all the time. Not just once.
Here's the thing, you gotta stay warm, I'm sure, you know, you can give them all the excuses, right? Like, you have so much makeup on for the show, you know, I want to keep my skin clean, so I have to wear my sweats.
Well, I don't know, I can't even be bothered to come up with a good excuse, I just like to be comfy. I think fashion is overrated.
Hey, no judgment.
Much respect.
So what would you, like, your advice, I guess, would be, like, for the people who, like, for the kids, I guess, who are starting, like, in circus, like, when eventually things get normal, hopefully? I don't know. I mean, I know for this time, like, circus is not really a thing, but let's say that it will be in the future. So what's your, like, advice?
Well, this might take another half an hour.
Make it shorter.
Well, several really important points. Training environment is very important. If you're training with a person that makes it feel negative, bitter, treats you like crap, and tells you that you're worthless, you don't put up with it. Get out. That's not the way to train. It's completely unnecessary and it will cause you trauma for a very long time. And unfortunately, this is the way a lot of children are being trained all around the world, including us. And it's a tough one to recover from. And I think all three of us that worked together at Cirque with that coach, is we were lucky to get out more or less sane. Another really important, once you do become an artist and you do start working, know your value, negotiate your price, don't take jobs for crap money, because you're not doing yourself any favors, you're not doing your fellow artists any favors if you accept a job for pennies.
Yeah.
If you are an aerialist, always, always, 110% of the time, check your own rigging. No matter who rigged you, check your rigging. Companies are getting cheaper and cheaper, and they're hiring crap people to do the rigging with crap, you know, actual rigging devices. And there has been an unacceptable amount of injuries and deaths in the circus world due to bad rigging in the past years. So check your rigging or do your own rigging. Don't trust it to anybody else.
Yeah.
And those are the three definitely most important things.
Yeah.
Everything else is like, I trust you'll figure it out. But these ones are super, super important.
Thank you. Thank you for that last. I think that's really important for people to hear those things. So thank you so much, Dasha, for being on.
No problem. It was my pleasure. Thanks to you guys.
Thanks for listening. As a reminder, we have new episode coming out every Monday. If you like what we have to talk about, make sure you subscribe, like, rate, and review us, as well as give us a follow on Instagram at We Have A Lot To Talk About podcast. We really appreciate it. Until next time, ta-da!